Title: Composing with Dub Echoes in Mind Advanced. Alright, let's get advanced and very intentional with dub echoes in drum and bass. Today's mindset shift is simple, but it changes everything. Dub echo is not a little delay you sprinkle on at the end. In modern DNB, dub echo can literally be the composition engine. It can generate ghost percussion, create call and response, glue sections together, and build tension into the drop without destroying your punch or turning the mix into soup. By the end of this lesson, you're aiming for a 32 to 64 bar sketch where, if you solo the echo returns, you can still recognize the structure of the tune. Intro, build, drop moments, fills, transitions. That's the level. Let's do it in Ableton Live using stock devices only. First, set up the session so you can compose like a dub engineer. Set your tempo to something in the classic pocket, 172 to 176 BPM. I'll assume 174. Set global quantization to 1 bar. That doesn't mean everything will be on the grid. It just keeps your workflow tidy when you're launching clips or recording ideas. Now make 3 groups: drums, bass, and music/effects. And most important, create return tracks. One called a dub echo. Optionally add a short reverb return, something like B-room or plate, and optionally a parallel crunch return for drums or bass. But the star today is that dub echo return, because we're going to send to it. Not insert delays on everything. Now build the dub echo return so it plays rhythm and stays controlled. On return A, drop in devices in this order: echo, auto filter, saturator, utility, and a limiter at the end just as a safety net. Quick coach note: gain staging on the return matters more than people expect. If echo gets hit too hard, feedback ramps become unpredictable and you get those sudden runaway explosions. So here's a pro move: put a utility at the very start of the return as an input trim, before echo, and set it around -6 to -12 dB. Then continue with the chain. You'll get way more usable range on your send knobs. Now, echo settings. Put echo in sync mode. Set the time to 3/16. That's a classic DNB dub pocket because it tucks between kick and snare in a way that feels like extra rhythm, not like a big obvious delay. Set feedback somewhere like 35 to 55% as a starting range. We'll automate it later. Dry wet should be 100%, because it's a return. Now filter inside echo, high pass somewhere around 250 to 450 Hz, and low pass around 4 to 8K Hz. We're band limiting on purpose so the echo doesn't fight the sub or shred your hats. Add a touch of noise if you want that tape air vibe, like 2 to 8%. Add very subtle modulation, depth around 5 to 15%. Slow rate. The goal is alive, not seasick. After echo, add auto filter. Set it to a low pass 24 dB slope. This is your dub sweep control. Put the frequency somewhere around 2 to 6 kHz for now. Resonance around 0.6 to 1.2. Keep the envelope off. We want predictable sweeps we can automate. Then saturator. Analog clip mode is great here. Drive maybe 2 to 6 dB. Soft clip on. Trim the output so you're not just getting louder, you're getting denser. Then utility. You can widen the return, but do it deliberately. A width of 120 to 160% can sound great, but here's the warning. Wide low mids get messy fast. That's why we high pass. If you hear the mix getting cloudy in the 300 to 800 Hz zone, reduce width or raise the high pass. Finally, limiter. Ceiling at -0.3 dB. It's not for loudness. It's for catching those oops moments when feedback starts to run. The goal of this return is band limited, saturated, controllable. You should be able to push it in a drop and still keep your kick, snare, and sub dominant. Next, compose drums with negative space for the echo. Open a MIDI track called Drums Main. Load a drum rack. Start with a strong two-step or roller skeleton. Kick on 1. Snare on 2 and 4. Add hats either as programmed 1/8 or 1/16 with some shuffle. Add ghost snares quietly leading into 2 and 4 if that's your style. Now here's the big compositional move. Choose one element to spark the dub. 1. Not 10. Usually it's a rimshot, a clave, a woodblock, a tiny Foley click, or a short vocal chop. Something short and percussive that reads clearly. Place that spark hidden strategic gaps. For example, try an offbeat placement like the end of a beat. Something like a hit just before the snare, or something that answers the snare. The exact grid label isn't as important as the intent. Place it where you want the echo to create an implied rhythm. Now send that spark hit to return A. Dart around -12 to -6 dB on the send. If you send the snare, do it sparingly, like -18 to -10 dB. Hats, usually very low or off, because hats smear the fastest. Teacher tip. Think in throws, not always on delay. In pro dub influenced ENB, the delay is performed. One hit gets launched into space, then you pull it back. If the return is constantly fed, your ear adapts and it stops feeling like an event. Contrast is what makes dub feel like dub. Also, build yourself a send hierarchy. Decide who gets priority when things get busy. A practical ranking is vocal chops or effects stabs first, then rim or clave, then snare accents, then synth tops, and hats rarely. This prevents your drop from overfeeding the return. Now the bass. Make it answer the echo. Create a MIDI track called bass. Use Waveatable or Operator. For Waveatable, start simple. Oscillator 1 can be sine-ish or triangle-ish for the foundation. Oscillator 2 very subtle or muted. Add a low-pass filter, maybe LP24 with a touch of drive. Add a saturator after the instrument, drive 3 to 8 dB. Soft clip-on. Now compose with holes on purpose. Write a 2-bar bass phrase, where bar 1 has more notes, more forward motion, and bar 2 has intentional rests, especially right after key drum moments like the snare on 2 or 4. Those gaps are where your dub tails speak. If you write bass that's constant, your echo has nowhere to live. And here is a golden rule for heavy DNB. Keep the sub dry. Do not put dub delay on the sub. That's how you get flubby low end and mono incompatibility. If you want bass to interact with the echo, split into layers. Sub layer, no echo send. Mid layer, tiny send. Top or effects layer, more send. You can do this by duplicating tracks, or using an audio effect rack with 3 chains and EQ splits. Next, we turn echo into arrangement mechanics with automation. This is where advanced tracks feel composed, because the space moves with the song. On return A, the main automation targets are echo feedback, echo time if you're brave and careful, auto filter frequency for dub sweeps, and send levels from specific sources. Here's a practical 32-bar plan you can follow. Bars 1 to 8, intro or groove establishment, minimal sends. Keep the return filter darker, maybe around 2 to 3kHz, just a couple of echo sparks every 2 bars. You're teasing the spatial signature of the track. Bars 9 to 16, pre-drop tension, increase send from your main spark. Maybe add a vocal stab as a second echo hero if you want. Automate feedback from around 35% up toward 55%. Open the filter gradually, like 3kHz up to 7 or 8kHz. The echoes should feel like they're stepping forward, right before the drop. You have 2 classic options. Option 1. Cut the echo send right before the downbeat, like last quarter bar. Pull it out. That sudden dryness makes the drop punch harder. Option 2. Do an echo freeze moment. Briefly push feedback high, carefully, then hard mute the return on the drop. The brain expects the tail to continue. Silence makes the downbeat feel huge. Bars 17 to 32. Drop. Keep the echo as a rhythmic shadow, not a wash. Feature it as a fill at the end of every 4 or 8 bars instead of adding more drums. This is one of the cleanest ways to sound advanced. You don't add density, you add moments. Ableton workflow tip. If you group your spark tracks, you can automate their send knobs together, or record your automation like a performance. Think like a dub engineer writing a send, not like a programmer setting and forgetting. Now, let's get the echo to groove with swing and pocket. 3/16 is a great starting point because it naturally lands in the spaces. If your hats are shuffly, try keeping hats dry and letting the rim or perk be the thing that drives the echo. That keeps the groove crisp and stops the top end from smearing. If you want more life, add a tiny bit of modulation in echo. Again, tiny. The goal is drift, not wobble. Now, the mandatory part. Keep the low end clean. On the dub echo return, make sure the high pass is at least 250 to 450 Hz. If you want extra control, add an EQ8 before echo with a steep high pass, like 24 dB at 300 Hz. And if feedback rides build harsh resonances, notch them out, often in the 2 to 5kHz area. One more powerful trick. Sidechain the return. Put a compressor on the return and sidechain it to the kick or snare, or the whole drum bus. Ratio 2:1:4:1. Attack 1 to 10 milliseconds. Release 80 to 180 milliseconds. Aim for 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction. This keeps echoes present but make sure the punch wins. Now let's talk common mistakes so you can avoid the classic traps. Mistake 1. Delaying the sub. Don't. Keep sub mono, centered, and dry. Mistake 2. Too much feedback without safety. That's why we have limiter and why we automate responsibly. Mistake 3. Echo on everything. No contrast. Pick 1 to 3 echo heroes. Mistake 4. Wide echoes in the low mids, that 300 to 800 range gets messy fast. High pass and control width. Mistake 5. Ignoring arrangement logic. Echo needs phrases. Introduce it, develop it, pull it back, feature it. Constant echo becomes wallpaper. Now a few advanced spice options. Still stock only. If you want taped up grit without wrecking transients, distort the return, not the source. You can even try echo into drum bus very subtly, then EQ8, then auto filter. Keep boom off or very low, crunch very low, drive modest. If you want unstable dub character only in the tail, put shifter after echo in pitch mode. Set fine to plus or minus 5 to 15 cents. Mix 10 to 25%. Automate the fine slightly during fills. Your dry hit stays clean, the tail gets character. And if you want safe chaos, build a macro. Put an audio effect rack on the return and map echo feedback, filter frequency, saturator drive, and a utility gain safety attenuator to one macro called throw. Now you can perform one knob and get a musical, controlled event instead of juggling four parameters. Another pro arrangement move. Commit the echo sometimes. Resample 4 to 8 bars of the return to audio, and then edit it like percussion. Slice, mute bits, reverse tiny chunks, fade out tails. That's how mix effect becomes composed material. All right, quick 20-minute practice exercise to lock this in. Make a 16-bar loop. Start with a 2-step drum loop. Add a single rim shot on offbeats, short and clean. Build returner with the chain we made. In bars 1 to 8, send the rim shot at around minus 10 dB. Keep the return filter darker. In bars 9 to 16, automate feedback from 35% up to 60%, and open the filter from around 3 kHz up to 8 kHz. Add one moment where the snare gets a quick send bump, like a dub throw. Then do the test. Mute the rim shot for a moment. Does the groove still feel like it has a secondary rhythm from the delay? If it collapses, your spark placement isn't composing yet. Adjust where the spark hits land, and reconsider the delay time. To wrap it up, here's the full concept in one sentence. Build a controlled dub echo return, write drum and bass parts with intentional gaps, choose a few echo heroes, and use automation light arrangement, while protecting the low end with filtering and sidechain. If you want to take it even further, build a second echo return with an odd time like 5/16 or dotted quarter, and send only one element to it. That's how you get polyrhythmic tension without clutter. This audio version is shortened for playback.